No, no, they.
Have you ever seen a woman in heat? A horny woman?
Yeah.
They will let you know.
No, respectfully. They'll let you know. Respectfully. Because, again, they just want you to be on the same time in there. Because, again, it's like, the fact that you gave me a dance, it must mean, you know, you feeling me. It must mean. If you're doing all this,
yes,
that means you're willing to do something else.
And that logic is backwards, because sometimes we just trying to test out our twerking skills. It's been a while. We trying to bring out the old clappers.
Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made.
Hey, que lo que? Welcome to Bronx Girl at Heart presents Casa Confessions, a space where young bosses and creatives confess funny and harsh truths about their come up. I'm your host, Alani Santigua. Hey guys, we're at episode 9 of season 2. I'm so happy to be here with you all again. Thank you for joining us. Just want to give you a heads up. We have a very special guest. You know, every guest we have here is very special. And they're going to educate us on the dance scene in Philly and New York. And I'm super excited to get into a lot of juicy conversations with our guests. Before we get to that, I do want to remind you guys to follow the podcast IG at Casa Confessions Podcast. And also follow us on Facebook, Threads, all the social media apps, X. When you follow me on X, it's going to be at @big_Lani, so you can get to learn a little bit more about me. And yeah, at Casa Confessions Podcast on all social media platforms. And make sure to leave a rating and review and a comment wherever you consume this podcast. Now, before we get into everything, I do want to let you guys know some of the topics that we're going to cover today. Today, we'll be talking about the girlfriend title. Is it overrated? I think it might be overrated. We'll also be talking about the L's that women are taking in the dating scene. And we'll be talking about Freaknik, a documentary that's... Oh, a phone call again. Hello? Yeah, come on in. Our guest is here.
What's up? Hi, Trey. I always get interrupted
at the same time.
Sorry. I had to come. I had to pull up. What's up?
Hi, Trey. I just said your name, but I would love for the audience to get to know you a little bit more. So
absolutely.
Let them know who you are.
Word. My name is Trey. Artist, dancer, creator, weirdo, all around good guy. Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. I'm here. And what do you do? Like, what's your, do you have like a 9-to-5 or are you just an artist creator?
So I'm an artist creator, by night, actually. I'm mostly teaching during the day. So I teach, kindergarten through fifth grade. I'm all over the world right now, in terms of just teaching everywhere, but yeah, I'm an artist by night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to ask that because everyone nowadays has multiple hustles. And where are you from? What borough or what city?
Southside Jamaica. Queens, and it's crazy.
Shout out to Nikki.
You know the vibes.
Are you a huge Nikki fan?
I'm not a huge Nikki fan, but you know, I got some songs in my Apple playlist and stuff, you know?
Okay.
But I'm not like a huge Nikki fan like that.
All right. I mean, lately Nikki's having a moment, you know, people like to hate on her, but you can't deny the talent.
Right. No, true. That's, no, she's a legend, respectfully.
She's a legend. What are your favorite Nikki songs?
Well, I mean, the OG songs, you know, you got Moment for Life. What else? Itty Bitty Piggy.
Those two alone, an icon.
Well, yeah, respectfully, I think those two could take it. What else? I'm a fan of that song, Everybody, with Lil Uzi.
Yeah.
It's on her new album. I think that's pretty tough. I think the new Nicki, though, I'm not really feeling it, though. Not like that.
What don't you like about the new Nicki versus the old Nicki? What do you feel like the new Nicki has lost or doesn't have right now that the old Nicki had?
I feel like nowadays, I mean, this is not just with Nicki. I feel like this is a lot with a lot of people, too. I feel like a lot of people tend to get big headed after a while.
Ooh.
Like they get the money, they get the fame, they get all the accomplishments and stuff like that. And then they start turning into these weird people and they get these big egos. So, yeah, I feel like the fact that she has, I feel like she has a huge ego, and she's gotten a little too big headed. So I feel like, I don't know her. She's supportive of the new artists in the game, mm-hmm. but I feel like, I don't know. It's just, it looks weird on her part to having to bring new artists in the game. Cause it feels like still it's a competition and she has to prove that she's that bitch, I guess. And she's the one, I guess. I don't know. That's how I see it.
Oh, do you feel like Nicki Minaj doesn't make room for other artists? Like, she doesn't want genuine competition in the game. She wants to be the only one.
There have been moments where I felt like that. Yeah. Where I felt like it, like in for example, I'd say when Megan Thee Stallion or even Cardi B was a thing, I feel like that would have been a great moment for Nicki to, like, not necessarily pass the torch, but, like, you know, she's the new artist. We've got the, like, you know, black woman in the game. Got to bring some more new artists in the game.
She kind of did. She collabed with them both.
She did, but at the same time, she beefed with them.
Yeah.
Too. You feel me? And it's like with Cardi, it was like pretty early. And then same thing with Megan. It was like, you know, you did a song with her or, you know, you shouted her out and then now you beefing with her.
But what if these girls are picking beef with Nicki?
I mean, if you're picking beef with Nicki, then...
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are we putting it all on Nicki? What if the girls are picking beef with her?
Did Megan pick the beef with Nicki, though?
I don't know.
For Cardi, I could say she probably started that one. That's... But for Megan, can we really say?
Yeah.
Can we really say that Megan...
Listen, I'm going to the Nicki Minaj concert, so I'm, like, trying to embrace my inner Barb.
No, fair. But
I'm honestly, like, I be hopping the fence, to be honest. Like, when Cardi drops that album, I'm tuning in. I'm listening. Because I don't think... Personally, for me, I don't have any stake in this.
Okay.
I don't, like... They don't pay me. I don't pay them.
Right.
I'm just an audience member consuming all of the art.
Okay.
Yes, I would love for the artist to be all kumbaya and stuff. That would be amazing. And especially when it gets, like, really violent and, like, people's families get involved, that's always scary.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, this isn't the 90s. Will things get really violent? No. Things are going to stay on Instagram Live, and it's just going to be a fun little key. A little kiki, a little haha.
No, you're right. You're right. Or they're going to put it in a song.
And they barely put it on songs, but thank God once in a while we get songs out of it. It usually stays on Instagram Live.
True. You're right. You're right.
So I'm just enjoying it all. You know, it's funny. I feel like for an artist like Nicki, who's been in the game for so long, she's been in the game for so long. And she was the only one for a long time. You know, we need to not forget. And nowadays, what's going to motivate her? She's not in Southside Jamaica, Queens anymore. She got to get motivated by these little raggedy-headed can't-rap-ass hoes. Like, that's what's got to...
Nah, you can say that part again.
That's what got to, like, motivate her. I'm thinking about myself. Like, if I was an OG rapper living in my mansion in Malibu, what's going to motivate me? What's going to get me to, like, actually rap?
No, you're right. I don't think there's a lot to rap about anymore.
That's what I'm saying. She could be a... Well, there are people that rap about, like, wealth. Like, I think about Rick Ross.
But
he raps about wealth. He makes me want to be, like, in a gold-plated shower with my Maybach pulling up.
No, I think with Rick Ross, I feel like he's heavily slept on, one. But two, I feel like with him, he has, I feel like...
Like, why can't Nicki just rap about her luxuries and wealth? Why does she have to rap about, like...
Because I feel like...
Hating ass bitches.
Don't people already know about that? Hasn't she already done that in songs before?
Not really. She's always, these bitches is my sons, is Nicki's, like, go-to line.
That is her go-to line, respectfully. Like, I feel like there has to be...
That's always been, like, the basis of her raps. And then she does have, like, the inspirational stuff here and there. But I think she's trying to stay away from, like, just luxurious rap. Like, rap that reflects her current situation. So then she's, like, picking beef with rappers. But you can just rap about luxury, like the good life.
But then but then at the same time, I feel like it's also how people receive it.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like you could put out an album or you could put out a song about all the luxury you have, all the wealth you have, and people would be like, I don't want to listen to that shit. Like,
I just mentioned Rick Ross.
I mean, that's why. And then I also mentioned he's heavily slept on. Cause again,
is he slept on?
I feel
like, you don't look, all those Maybachs don't look, well, I mean, on. Like, he looks like he's living a good life off of.
Well, I mean, he making his money, but right. I'm saying, like, not a lot of people listen to Rick Ross like that.
True.
You feel me? Not like they listen to Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because that's why I said Rick Ross is heavily slept on, because he's also the type of rapper where he raps about, like, actual shit. Mm. He's also one of those rappers that's, like, actually spitting bars.
Yeah.
And then that's why I said a lot of people, they'll receive bars, and I'll be like, I don't listen to the shit.
Yeah.
So that's why they rather listen to, you know, everything else that's not talking about the wealth or the luxury and stuff like that. You feel me? So.
Well, we love you, Nicki. You know, I'm going to go to your concert and have a good old time.
Respectfully. All love to Nicki.
But we still, as fans, you know, we can say, we don't have to be dumb. Mm-hmm. I'm not into people that follow someone blindly.
Oh, yeah. Respectfully.
Like, if she's saying whatever and you're just going to back her up, or if you're doing something wrong, even if it's your fave, I'm the type to call them out and be like, no, that's wrong.
No, respectfully.
Anyways, we started off the podcast. It was like straight into Nicki Minaj.
Sorry. We went off in a little tangent. My bad.
I'm just going to drink from my little cup, my little Stanley.
I'm going to mention this to everybody. She drinking out that cup. I told her she should stop drinking out that cup. You want to tell them why?
I don't know if you guys heard, but allegedly, Stanley's like facing a big lawsuit right now. Someone filed a lawsuit for allegedly having lead in their cup. So, you know, we may have some money on our hands. You know, there may be some money coming to us. I didn't buy this directly, though. I had this as a gift, so I don't know. But I need some money coming to me. You think I should stop drinking?
Personally, I think you should stop while you're still alive, you know?
You know?
Because lead is a serious thing. That's a serious thing.
Yeah.
That's not like a... You ate some Play-Doh or something. That's
all right,
like
we'll think about this. We'll put it to the side.
Yeah, put that to the side. Put that to the side.
I'm from the Bronx, you know?
Okay.
We were exposed to more things than a little lead.
I'm going to say this again. The Bronx ain't raise you for that. The Bronx ain't bring you up to die by that, personally.
It's all good. Okay, we'll think about the Stanley. To be continued, I'll see if I get some money out of that.
Okay.
I'm trying to join that lawsuit. But before you kindly interrupted,
I'm sorry.
I was getting into all the topics that we'll be covering today. So,
okay,
to begin, mm-hmm. there's a Freaknik documentary to come out. Have you heard about Freaknik?
I have.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, I would have loved to be, to been there. I'm not going to lie.
You would have loved to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
To been there around that time? Because it just seemed like such a lit ass time for everybody. Like now I would hate to watch a movie or like watch something from Freaknik and see like my mom, because I'd probably be devastated. But like to be in that moment, the atmosphere, like with that many like cultured people.
Right.
I'm not even talking about just like the crazy stuff that they were doing. Yeah. Just like just the community, just like being around that many people, just vibing out with the homies. I feel like that's something I would have wanted to be a part of. Because now, I don't know, everyone just seems so separate.
Mm-hmm.
So just that sense of camaraderie, that sense of we all coming together, we all finna turn up. Regardless of what we doing, we finna turn up. And I feel like that's a vibe for me.
Camaraderie, you worded that so
you feel
nicely.
Me? My wordplay.
Well,
you feel me?
Freaknik, for the people that don't know, because, you know, a lot of us, that was way before my time, that may be way before the time of people listening,
mm-hmm.
was a series of parties that started in the early 80s. And it started in Atlanta around mm-hmm. different colleges started right. it. And it was a time for people to just let loose. I mean, you know, now we have spring break. Back then it was Freaknik.
Mm-hmm.
And there were allegedly a lot of, there was some wild stuff going on in Freaknik. You know, a lot of women were getting naked, twerking, exposing themselves, some semi-sexual activity. Therefore, there's a lot of concerns from the public, from the people that were either these women, mm-hmm. related to these women, or the children of these women that are scared about what may possibly be shown in this documentary. What would you do if you were one of those people anticipating the release of this film and you know you was wildin' in Freaknik?
And this is going to be on Hulu.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not going to be in like theaters. Like it's not going to be like the whole world. Like, I mean, obviously the whole world's going to watch.
Yeah. Streaming is the theater. Streaming is bigger than theaters now.
No, that is true.
This is global.
Everyone's going to stream before they go into the movies. True.
Like,
I feel
people
like
in Dubai going
to
learn.
I wouldn't really know how to react. You know, I feel like on one end I'd be like, "Fuck!" Like,
yeah.
I'm screwed. They about to show like what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, damn. But on the other end, I'd be like, I mean, I'm not the only one that they finna expose. So. Mm-hmm. And I feel like also, I mean, I know they was wilding, but like, I probably wouldn't be doing anything that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? I wouldn't want to do anything that wild.
You think so? You're saying that now because you were raised in an era of social media. Back when we could do things and we know we weren't watched, that shit was probably crazy.
Okay, I would. Dang, why do you have to make this a whole film? Like, I feel like that's OD. Like,
I actually don't. I love films like this, to be honest. Like, Freaknik, what does it make me think of? I'm trying to think of a similar situation, but it just makes me think about how this generation learned about artists like Selena Quintanilla, or like how we learned about Aaliyah. Okay. A lot of times it was through film, and then it's able to like live on. I think this is going to be a cultural moment, because I don't know much about Freaknik. I just know what I've heard, like little tidbits that I've heard rappers talk about or people from Atlanta.
Word.
But this is going to start a movement. Like, people are going to start wearing their Freaknik costumes. If it's a good movie, people are going to throw their annual Freaknik parties. It's cool. It's going to be a chance to expose a new generation to when the parties was actually lit. Like y'all think y'all lit. Cute shaking your hips and doing your little movements today. Like, let me show you.
Parties today suck.
Let's talk about it.
Because
you're a dancer.
They suck. Well, also, I'm a dancer. So, like, when I'm in a party, I'm expecting to dance.
Yes.
You feel me? So, I feel like nowadays, you go to a party, all right, I'm going to do it from what I've seen when I go to a party, right? So, If I'm with the bros who dance, right? Specifically with my friends that dance, and we go to a club and we dance, there's always that, like, those select few people that are not dancing that look at you like,
yeah,
weird. Or like parties today, there's always people standing on the wall. There's never like anyone like trying to like get down and like, mind you, you don't got to be like a professional dancer, but like just being able to like go in there and have fun. I feel like no one really does that anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like also, again, this is from my experience. I feel like nowadays people go to parties expecting to meet someone
or to like hook up. You think it's more for dating.
You feel me? Like, I feel like it's like, all right, for a guy, like I feel like guys are like, all right, well, not all guys, but like, most guys are like, all right, I'm going to this party just to get a shawty. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to party to have fun, not to, you know, have a good time. I mean, yes, I may meet someone, but like, I'm going there like, boom. You feel me? Like, no one's really just like there to have fun. And again, this is just because I'm a dancer. So every time I go to a party, I'm just trying to dance.
You actually want to dance. Do you ever start the party?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Funny enough, when I was in Philly, shout out to the bros, by the way. My bro Alexis and Jamil, we would always like go to this specific party, and we were known to like I said, there's people just standing there. We were known to like get everybody to move. So I think when you got a vibe like that, I feel like that makes the party better.
Yeah.
If you're just going in there, standing there, looking at everybody like,
yeah. That makes sense. In a recent episode, we actually had a dancer on here. We had this dancer named Jay.
Mm-hmm.
She specializes in like Afro house style dance moves. And she was saying she's not too fond of like a man that's always in the middle of the circle with the light on him. Like, it could be an ick a little bit.
No, granted. Okay, no, because I definitely understand where she's coming from too, because there are all those people that are like, all right, I'm just trying to be in the middle all the time. Like, the attention has to be on me all the time.
Yeah.
I'm an attention seeker, but I'm not like, the attention doesn't always have to be on me. Yeah. Like, I give people their moment to like shine. Like, I'll come in whenever it's like the right time. Yeah. I'm not finna just hog up the circle.
So if I walk into a party and I see you, what am I gonna see? Am I gonna see you? Are you the guy that sweats a lot and that's patting his head? Okay. Are you trying to pull up on a girl with your, like, leading pants first? Are you in the middle of the circle doing some interesting acrobatic moves?
Okay, so it depends on a lot of things, right? Yeah. So one, it depends on where we at. Mm-hmm. It depends on who the DJ is. I'm not necessarily big on like who the DJ is necessarily, but like when I mean who, I mean like the type of music they're playing. Like, are they playing like vibey kind of music, or is this like, nah, we gotta get the fuck up out of here? And then you said girls. I'm the type. I'm never the one to go up to a girl at a party.
Wow.
Never. I mean, I've done it before, but like, I'm never like, no, I can't. Like I said, I'm going to a party to like have fun, but I'm usually not the toot my own horn. I attract people to me.
Ooh.
So, like I said, not the toot my own horn, but like, I'm usually like in the club, like dancing, and then people gravitate towards me. That's why I said I'm usually the party starter, because like, if I'm doing my big one, people are like, oh, and then that's how things escalate. But I never go to a shawty in the club, because I also see how guys approach women in the club. And I'm like, I don't look stupid like you. Nah, I'm not doing that. So, yeah.
You're observant.
That's
really important.
Very observant.
What do you think it is about you that attracts women?
I would say the fact that I'm so observant, or at least I think that's what attracts people to me. I would say my demeanor, because the fact that I'm so calm and so chill, because I feel like I wouldn't want to attract someone that's like chaotic and like all over the place. So I feel like the fact that I'm calm, that kind of brings people closer to me. And I'm just nice. So I feel like, you know, the fact that I'm nice, the fact that I'm kind, I can be an asshole at times, but like, you know, who else isn't an asshole? You feel me? So yeah, I feel like my calmness, my demeanor, my smile, you know, especially if I'm in the club and we having a good time, if I'm a smile.
I always felt like I tend to go up to the guys that aren't too thirsty too. Not that I ever go up to guys. I don't go up to guys.
Have you gone up to a guy before?
I like did a little challenge last summer, and I like challenged myself to go up to a guy. I asked for his Instagram. Like, I was out with a friend and we were like betting each other, like, okay, let's make ourselves do it. And I like asked this guy for his Instagram. And I feel like whenever it does happen, whenever girls do that, men are usually very flattered because women rarely ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it. Like, I challenged myself to do it. But in that situation, it was because he was like calm, cool, collected. And I liked that vibe. Yeah. But I said it like I've done it multiple times. It's just usually the person that I'm attracted to is the calm, cool, chill guy, not the one who's doing the most.
No, that's fair. And I think
if you're having fun, you're having fun. I just meant doing the most in terms of women, doing the most in terms of the one that screams in your ear the whole time.
Oh, no.
Doing the most as in like profusely sweating and like all over everyone's body.
No, that's fair.
Just mad, like,
No, you know, it's funny because I also make faces in the club too. And like the fact that I'm so observant, it's so sad, but like I watch guys talk to women, and it's so funny because it's just like,
okay, so teach the men, where are they going wrong when it comes to talking with women?
Oh damn, a lot of men in the world are gonna be like, shut the fuck up, Trey.
No, where are they going wrong? They gotta hear it from another man.
I just feel like a lot of times, from what I've seen, they're just a little too aggressive with it. Like, they'll roll up on a shawty like all up on her grill, like they'll tower over a woman. It's like, bro, like fall back just a little bit, you feel me?
Yeah.
And then you can't be talking to a shawty with bad breath.
Yes.
Bro, like, what's going on?
But
like,
if it's your friend, why don't you give him a pack of gum or something? Y'all don't be telling your friends. That's the real issue.
We're gonna stop right here. That's the real issue. Because The homies, my homies, well, at least from what I know.
Yeah.
From what I'm assuming, they breaths don't be stinking when they be talking to girls. Okay. So they gonna reel them in.
Okay.
You feel me? So
with the hygiene.
With the hygiene, right? Be good on the hygiene. If any of my friends are not good on their hygiene, let's change it.
Yeah.
Let's change it, bro. You know? Let's change it. But yeah. You know, you can't be walking around with bad breath. The hygiene got to be good. What else?
What about with dancing?
With dancing?
Because guys usually just like pull me by the waist and just attack.
I'm okay. Right. So don't do that.
Okay.
You feel me? I'm a dancer. So like,
I feel like that's the thing nowadays. I'm like, you know, we made so much progress in culture in terms of consent, but for some reason, in certain parties,
nah, dude, just dance like, come floor, here.
It's just like the consent thing doesn't exist anymore.
Come here. Nah. Being that I'm a dancer, I like to. Well, I mean, it's also a Caribbean thing too. You feel me? Like, if you see a shawty dance, you don't just go right behind her. You gotta, like, you know, maneuver it. You feel me? Feel the vibe that she's on. If the vibe is matching.
Yeah.
And you come in close, if you bring it in and she matching your vibe.
If she turns around and walks away from you, you don't grab
you feel
her
me?
Hand.
You don't nah, they you love don't grab to do her. That. If she turns around and she's like, okay, we here.
Yeah.
And then we can keep it going. But don't just be like, all right, shawty not feeling me. Let me grab her. Nah. And then that's another thing too. Man, we not really good with rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if a shawty's saying no, it's like, damn, you gonna say no to me, deadass?
How do you react to rejection? Have you ever been rejected?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've been rejected.
If you ask, let's say you ask in front of your friends and a girl says, no, not interested.
Depends on the girl.
What's your reaction?
Depends on the girl. But I've had a girl reject me and I've been like, cool.
Okay.
I mean, I walked away and felt a little like, damn, like, shawty really just said no to me. That's fucked up. But I'm not going to be like, all right, well, fuck you then, bitch. Like, nah, I'm going to be like, wait, respectfully.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Like, thank God that you're not
going to
be
like, even
like,
when it comes to like a shorty in the DMs, like, I'm good at taking a hint.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if I'm texting you and you don't respond, all right, have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's one thing I hate though.
Yeah.
So can we talk about that? Can we talk about that?
Not responding.
Yeah,
in the
what's
DMs?
The issue? Yeah, I mean, I'm not on Instagram like that no more, but like,
yeah.
What's the issue? What's the problem with just saying, no, I'm not interested?
Wait, does this girl follow you?
No, not anymore.
I'm saying when you DM'd her, did she follow you?
Does she follow you?
Because if she doesn't follow you, that's a whole thing with Instagram. That goes in another DM box. They might not see it. You got to take that up with Meta. That's a whole
take that
thing.
Up with Meta. I'm weak. No. Well, okay, you follow her. Or do you follow her? Let's say in both situations. So you don't, let's say first you don't follow her.
Yeah, because I've gotten DMs from guys that I don't follow. Okay. I mean that I don't follow.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes in a whole nother DM box. So I'll probably see it like way later.
Okay, and then when you do see it.
Also, if I don't really respond if I don't. First of all, if I'm not attracted based on what I see. And yeah, if I'm not attracted based on what I see. And usually I don't like really know these people at all. Like we don't have mutual friends or anything. It'll just be like some guy that liked me from Instagram.
Makes sense.
Then I won't really respond to that. I like to catch a vibe with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it's never been someone that's DM'd me that their page looks like they have something going for them and seems like an actual normal person that could actually be a potential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like a weirdo.
I'm weak.
And also, I always find it interesting too when we're like in the same space and we're hanging out and then the guy DMs you afterwards. That's what they always do. They don't ask in person anymore. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Why don't men ask in person? Like you guys were hanging out the whole night and then they DM you afterwards.
Ask for what?
Just whatever you're gonna ask, whatever you're DMing me about. Like, you wanna hang out, you wanna see me again, like.
Well, if you meet in a club, in most cases, having those conversations doesn't necessarily, like, work.
Okay.
You feel me? Because, like, sometimes if you get like, if I get a girl number in the club, mm-hmm. it's like, all right, there's still stuff going on in the club. Like we still in the club, we still vibing. Like I'm not, I mean, I may be able to pull you to the side, but like, I'm not gonna, I can't just fully be able to like have a full conversation with you. So in some cases that in the club conversation can't always happen.
I feel like you see a girl in the club, you like her, you want to see her again. Let her know that before the night ends.
No, true.
Because she might not see your DM. She might not care about you 2 days from then when she does see it. Like, you gotta, if the moment is good, you gotta catch her right there.
No, true. true. But I think, well, the way I was explaining it, I think also might have been like you talking to a girl all night. Like, you've developed that conversation and like, then you guys leave and then you go off in your separate ways. But nah, when everybody's like leaving the club and you want to see a girl, definitely be like, I want to see you.
If the situation calls for the post hangout DM, I'm completely okay for it. It's just the whole thing that some guys act scary.
No, but then also, no, true. But then also it's, again, that fear of rejection.
Yes.
You know, because then sometimes you'll think in your head, the first time we hung out was great. Mm-hmm. But then in your mind, you're like, I don't think I want to see him again. So like, I may be like, all right, can I see you again? You may be like, no. I'll be like, all right.
Yeah.
So.
Which I've learned, I feel like as women, as we get older, and I've also learned the, like, how vulnerable it has to be for men are usually the ones approaching women traditionally. So how vulnerable it must be to like put yourself out there. And then when girls are young, we can be like a little insensitive or be like, no. But also it could be the case where in my youth, a lot of times I would get hit on by men that were slightly older than me on like outside or in the street.
Okay.
And a lot of times I was scared.
Well, I mean, so yeah.
Like men, I think it's really important for men. And I think now there's a little bit more of social awareness, thank God, I think because of social media and because of conversations like this.
Right.
But men need to realize if the block is vacant and it's just you and the girl, don't follow her for a block. Don't like look at her out the corner of your eye. Like maybe you're thinking like, oh, like I need to talk to her. Like, this is my shot. But she's thinking, stranger danger. I'm this close to calling the police. Like, that's what facts. She's thinking.
If you're doing stuff like that, it's like, nah, you looking kind of weird, bro.
But
you looking kind of weird. Not going to lie. No. If you're doing stuff like that, it's like, bro.
But then I was like thinking about, now that I'm a little bit older, I think about it. Like, if you do see, if you're a guy, me putting myself in the shoes of a guy, if I'm a guy and it's me and this girl alone on a block, but she looks good. This is my chance. How do I approach her? But I'm just like, nah.
I feel like at moments like that, you're gonna charge it.
Women are usually nervous.
Okay.
And they wanna go home safe.
Right.
Granted, if you watch the news, you know why. Women wanna go home safe. So sometimes if you're coming up to us and the environment looks sketchy, I don't care how good you look. I'm just going to be like, no, sorry, gotta go. Like, I have my AirPods in. I'm just trying to get home safe.
Right, respectfully.
And I don't think men account for that mindset when they're hitting on women sometimes.
Because I think, well,
like, look at the environment you're in, bro. Yeah. Like, do you realize this is a vacant street and you're mad big?
Unfortunately, sometimes we never really know how to read the room.
Yeah.
It's always just, hey, shawty look good. I gotta get the number.
And there are men that have ruined it for other men that do react violently or do react erratically. So it makes it like women have to be on guard all the time. You know, I remember there was this guy that was arguing or complaining about how women just dance with women in the club. Have you seen that? Have you observed that in your outings?
I have. And I mean,
how do you feel about that?
It doesn't make me mad, but I understand and I don't understand at the same time. Okay. I understand because, again, men are just assholes and, you know, you got men that grab you in the club and don't know how to just like properly treat a person in the club.
Yes.
But then it's like, that's not always the case. It's not all men, I'll say. So sometimes it's like, damn, like, this shouldn't, like, I mean, I love it. The fact that women dance with women, like, I love it. I love it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you got men over here that are like good, like candidates to like possibly dance with you. You feel me? It's just like, share.
But it could be kind of like what you said. Sometimes people want to go out just to party and they're not on that dating mindset.
That could also
be. And I've noticed this doesn't really happen as much in New York. It happens in New York. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people aren't with the whole, like, we could dance, we could have a good vibe, and this doesn't have to go anywhere after this. Like, some people don't get that concept. I realized when I traveled to Atlanta that they didn't get that concept. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't get the concept of, like, you could grind on a guy, or you could have a little, you know, a little moment with a guy, and then everyone goes home. Like, they was trying to keep the night going. Like, they were like,
oh, like, no, some
you
dudes
coming to our hotel, and I'm just like, I'm going home.
Nah, some like, dudes,
I'm confused.
Some dudes, when you dance with a girl, once you dance with that girl, y'all locked in.
Okay.
Y'all locked in. So, like, the thought of you, like, leave, like, why you leave? Like, we just had a dance. This is the mind.
But you said you're Caribbean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you not get the concept of just having the craziest
situation?
And then people go on about their
man. Yeah, I know that concept. But I think, like I said, most guys don't necessarily understand that concept. It's like I said, if you dance with a show, I'm not defending them, but I'm just saying.
Are you in support of this?
I'm not.
My whole thing, if I'm on the dance floor, uh-huh. I'm shaking my ass, I'm going crazy. Like, afterwards, I want to go home.
No, respectfully.
I'm not. What do you mean? Where are we going after this? And it's 4:20 a.m.
No, makes sense.
I'm
going home. No, I'm not defending.
Oh, you got a hotel? That's great for you. I'm so happy you have a hotel.
No, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, I just want you to understand the perspective. You feel me? So basically, like I said, if you dance with a shorty, most guys would be like, I got this dance. Me and her are locked in now.
Yeah.
So the fact that she danced with me means that she's interested. Some guys will take the dance as, oh yeah, she's interested, she want me. So that's what
doesn't make sense to me. Like, hey. where they taught y'all that at?
Hey.
Like, a girl dancing just means she wants to have fun and be free, get lit.
But then also, most guys also think with that and not that. So it's like, again, you got a girl dancing on you. She may got a big bumsy, you feel me? You feel me?
Yes.
So she dancing with you. It's like, all right, I like the way this is going. So possibly.
Yeah, my whole thing is, okay, you know, shoot your shot.
Right.
But if you shoot it and it doesn't land, don't keep trying.
No, respect.
Because my Uber's outside and I need to go. I don't know what's happening here.
No, but I'm, don't. Okay.
So glad you have a hotel nearby.
You wouldn't. Okay. So you wouldn't mind a guy.
I don't want to go to your hotel.
She don't want to go to your hotel, fellas. Fellas, they don't want to go to the hotel.
They don't want to go to the hotel.
Back off.
And it'd be at the craziest times too, like 5:45 a.m. Like, no.
I mean, hey, sometimes people be sneaky.
My thing is, I feel like when women are with it, like, they'll let you know.
True. No, no, they
won't. Have you ever seen, I don't even want to get into this anymore, but have you ever seen a woman in heat?
A woman in heat?
Have you ever seen a horny woman?
Yeah.
They will let you know.
No, respectfully. They'll let you know. Respectfully.
Women will let you know.
Yeah. They do a good job of that, too. At so, letting you know? Oh, yeah.
Like, women will be like, let's go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I don't understand why men feel like they have to, like, push it. Like, I feel like a woman will let you know.
Because, again, they just want you to be on the same time in there. Because, again, it's like, the fact that you gave me a dance, it must mean, you know, you feeling me. It must mean. If you're doing all this,
that
means you're willing to do something else.
And that logic is backwards because sometimes we just trying to test out our twerking skills. It's been a while. Hey. We're trying to bring out the old clappers. Hey. Bring it back.
Hey. You know? And most men just want to get to experience the clappers. They don't really know, you know.
So. Okay. Well, continuing on the topic of dating.
Okay.
There's this podcaster that I really love. Mm. And her name is Imani. And she hosts the Imani Talks podcast. And she recently had a conversation on her podcast where they were talking about the girlfriend role.
Okay.
And that title. And who is really benefiting. So I'm going to play a little bit. Please. And I want to hear your thoughts.
The girlfriend role.
I'm going to share my thoughts. And then I want to hear it from like a man's perspective as well.
Okay.
Like, for me, I'm at the point where I'm never going to have another boyfriend again.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to date until I find my fiance who we can date, but I'm not going to be your girlfriend. I'm not going to be exclusive to you. I don't expect you to be exclusive to me.
Yeah.
And again, what I'm not going to do is date you for 6 months in a year. No, because it doesn't take that. Because really, men are the ones that benefit from having a girlfriend.
So do you think that a girlfriend title only benefits men?
Yes. How in the world does it benefit us?
Yeah.
The minute that you're a girlfriend and you are expecting a guy to pay all of your bills, you're being unreasonable. He's not your husband. But a boyfriend can expect sex from you every single day and he's not being unreasonable because that's part of the girlfriend-boyfriend
experience.
Relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So having that boyfriend-girlfriend status where you guys are basically almost doing a lot of marriage things, you have this bond. So of course you don't want to just walk away from them. You don't want to be alone, you know?
We put the label of boyfriend-girlfriend on a pedestal. And we have given it way too much importance. And I feel like
that was a lot. I don't know if a lot of people will agree with that or not, but I'm kind of feeling what they were saying. Because personally, I'm not someone who jumps into the girlfriend title. Okay. I realized that lately. Like, I've only had one official relationship in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that a lot of like the situationships that I had, some situationships that I had, some people would call that a relationship.
What were you doing in those said situationships?
Like, you know, staying over, someone making you a meal, you making them a meal, being like cuddly, going on dates. For some people, that's a whole boyfriend and girlfriend experience.
I mean, If you kind of look at it, it does kind of seem like a relationship, kind of.
But I realize that's not what a boyfriend and girlfriend experience is for me. Like, I'm kind of like a step behind, like a boyfriend and girlfriend experience, because that's what she's saying. She doesn't want to be a girlfriend because essentially it's basically like being a fiance, or it's basically like being a wife nowadays. Okay. So I haven't gone into that girlfriend, boyfriend step. Because to me, that's like, I have to find a really important person to lock them down to that step. Because that means we're like on the path to marriage for me.
Okay. So what exactly does a girlfriend mean for you? Does being a girlfriend mean for you?
And that's when I realized that I'm kind of off the the playing field with this generation. Being a girlfriend for me is like a preparation step for marriage. That's how I feel.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't feel like that. That's why I believe they're going ahead with this theory where like women don't want to be girlfriends anymore because the whole girlfriend title just seems to delay the process of getting married. Women are girlfriends because we want to get married, and men will just have a girlfriend just to have a girlfriend, just to have someone cook for them, have someone clean for them, have to have someone have sex with them at every moment's notice. So that's what they were saying. Like, it mainly benefits men and it doesn't really benefit women because women always want more out of that arrangement.
Fair. Who's to say that's what the girlfriend role is in its entirety? Like, you have to cook, you have to clean. Who's to say that's what makes up a girlfriend?
Well, you don't have to cook, you don't have to clean, but usually being a girlfriend requires a little bit more commitment, obviously, than just hanging around and chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a bigger stepping stone for a woman than it is for a man.
What do you mean?
I think a man can be a boyfriend and his identity of like, he's still very much a bachelor for all intents and purposes for the world. A woman is tied to a man, and that in some cases, if it's a successful man, if it's a man with more connections than her, that becomes a part of her identity. Women give up a lot in the girlfriend role. Whenever a woman ties herself to a man, that's almost like it's almost like a stain in their book.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a good stain or it can be a bad one. But it never leaves. Women aren't able to shake that off as well as men can. Mm-hmm. And we see that in celebrity examples. We see that in every single time a woman is associated with a man, they're just remembered for their relationships. Like a woman like Amber Rose, for example.
That's fucking crazy. Wow. Because funny enough, you had said the whole idea of a woman only being remembered by the relationship. I feel like that's fucked up. Stuff like that is fucked up because it's like
that should really hit you.
No, it did. It did. I do have a personal.
It's like you have a realization, right?
I do have a personal experience. Yes. I'm not going to go fully into detail. Okay. You know. Yeah, I'm not going to go fully into detail, but I'll say that I was in a relationship and it seemed like, well, I think it also was based on the fact that we were always around each other.
Yeah.
But it turned into, oh, where's Trey and so-and-so? Never. Or like when I was by myself, never. Yeah. Where's Trey and so-and-so? Or when she was by herself, where is Trey? Like, why isn't he with you? So it's like, I hate the idea that people can't just be their own person.
Yeah.
But circling back to the idea of a girlfriend role, sometimes it just, I feel like people get misconstrued with what a girlfriend, what the requirements of a girlfriend is.
So what are the requirements for a girlfriend?
Personally, I don't think a girlfriend, I was going to say a girlfriend doesn't have requirements, but I just feel like based on what I was hearing, it was a lot of like, girlfriends have to do this. Mm-hmm. Girlfriends have to do this. They have to be this type of way. And it's like, no, you don't.
Okay, so you're dating a girl, you guys are chilling, you guys mm-hmm. are hanging out.
Right.
What are those extra steps she has to take to be your girlfriend? What is the difference? How do you draw that line between a girl you're just hanging out with and a girl who's your girlfriend?
I mean, I'm not going to ask a girl to be my girlfriend because she cooking clean for me. I'm asking a girl to be my girlfriend based on the type of conversations we have. I'm asking a girl to be my girlfriend based on if I want to be around this person. Like, yeah.
Do the expectations change when you have a girlfriend?
Well, at least for me.
You see, I feel like that's not true.
That is true. Because I'm not expecting if she cooks.
I'm talking about when you're single versus when you're not single. I'm not talking about just cooking and cleaning. When you're single talking to a girl mm-hmm. in a situationship, sneaky link, whatever, mm-hmm. versus when you're in a relationship with a girl and she is your girlfriend, what do you expect from that person?
Well, okay, so it depends on the titles, right? So you said sneaky link. I'll start off with that first.
Yeah.
Because we'll build it up.
All right. What are your expectations for a sneaky link?
I call. I'm ready for sex.
Okay.
Sex. Or if she calls. I mean, it's not to say like if I call, like, no. Like if I'm like, I'm horny, like I want some rump.
Okay.
Or if she's like, I'm horny, like,
yes,
I'm on some dick. I'm like, all right, cool, we out. That's a sneaky link shop. Like, no other, there's no, like, can we cuddle? No, like, okay, when are we hanging out outside of this? No, like, mm-hmm. we have a specific thing. Like, we're linking up for this, and that's it. That's a sneaky link.
Okay. Sneaky links, that's different, because that sounds like a booty call to me. Even though we don't use that word anymore. But that sounds like a booty call, because a sneaky links go on vacation now, too. They just don't post each other.
Sneaky links go on vacation?
Yes, sneaky links go on vacations now. Sneaky links go on dates. They just don't post each other.
Nah. Your sneaky link stays in. You feel me? My sneaky link stays sneaky.
Okay.
You feel me?
Stays like, real sneaky.
Real sneaky. Like, okay. real sneaky. Like, okay. And again, that also, like, if I have multiple sneaky links, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, okay. I call or they call, boom.
Okay.
Sneaky link.
What would make you want to upgrade a girl from the sneaky link phase to a situationship?
Okay, what's, define what a situationship is.
Or whatever that stage is for you, that's before boyfriend and girlfriend. Maybe it's dating, whatever that looks like for you.
I feel like if anything, to boost anybody up for anything, I feel like it would have to be based on just like the vibe.
Yeah.
The conversations we have. Like, again, if I want to be around this person, I feel like they'll get boosted up, you know, or if like I'm constantly looking at my phone expecting mm-hmm. their texts, they'll get boosted up.
So what do you expect from them? So you said a sneaky link, some rump, ready to go. What are the expectations for after that?
If I'm
talking in the dating phase.
All I would say, the only thing is just transparency and honesty.
Okay.
Well, transparency is honesty. Because I mean, in the dating phase, it's like, I'm sure I'm probably not going to be the only guy you would be talking to. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I would be like, just full transparency. Like, just let me know. Like, if you plan on making that a thing, let me know and I'll keep it pushing.
And you don't want to be a part of it?
No.
But she's not your girlfriend.
She's not my girlfriend. Well, I mean, like, when I say taking part in that, I mean, like, if that's something you want to seriously do,
okay,
don't keep me in the picture. Like, I'll keep it pushing.
Okay. But she's allowed to.
Oh, yeah. She's allowed.
She doesn't have to commit to you physically.
Right. No, not at all. And, like, when it comes to if we're sexual, too, mm-hmm. like, if you're going to be sexual with, like, other people, like, mm-hmm. just be safe.
Yeah.
I don't need you catching diseases. I don't need to be catching nothing. I don't need. Facts. You feel me? We don't need nobody to be catching.
There's a lot of people burning in these streets.
You feel me? So all I would want is just let me know.
Right.
You feel me? You going out with other partners? Fine. You know, if I'm doing the same thing, I'm going to let you know as well. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So, yeah, I think when it comes to stuff like that, you got to let. When it comes to the dating part, then, yeah, I think that's okay. The only expectation.
So you just want honesty and transparency.
Respectfully.
Is your girlfriend allowed to have her sneaky links on the side? Or what type of commitment are you looking for from a girlfriend?
Oh, hell no. If you're my girlfriend, you mine. You my girlfriend.
Okay.
You not nobody else's girlfriend.
All right.
If I'm your boyfriend, I'm yours. I'm not anybody else's boyfriend. So, yeah, there would be no. If we boyfriend and girlfriend, there's no sneaky links.
Right.
There's no sneaky. What the fuck?
There's all types of relationships. Oh, hell nowadays.
No.
If you know, with that open.
If we together, nah. We're not in an open relationship. Like, if I'm asking you to be my girl, that's it.
Right.
We locked in. You feel me? So.
Okay.
And wait, people are actually doing that?
People are doing all types of
getting a relationship and having a sneaky link is crazy.
People are doing all types of things.
Nah, that's too much. I could never.
Doing all types of things. No. All right. So at least you have that clear separation. But I do stand by what I said, where usually when women get in relationships, they have to bend a lot more than men,
mm-hmm.
just by the nature mm-hmm. of it. I think there's certain environments that it's okay for men to be in a lot of times, but women are expected to change the way they act, even if it's like how late they stay out
mm-hmm.
or who they surround themselves with. A lot of times there's expectations when you meet the family, what women are supposed to do around the mom, what women are supposed to do around the dad.
Mm-hmm.
There's social expectations that women face that men do not face in just the boyfriend and girlfriend dating scenario.
Not entirely.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, when it comes to stuff like meeting the parents, guys, I feel like that guys have not necessarily as much as women, but I feel like that stuff like that can be an issue for men too, because it's like, I'm meeting the dad. I mean, like,
well, what do you think about when you're going to your girl's place and you're meeting the dad for the first time or having those introductory conversations with a parent?
I mean, I'm always nervous, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, I know just to like, be me. I know how to like talk to a man. I know how to like have a conversation with a man. So it's never like I'm intimidated necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm the dad. Like, I mean, you're the dad. So it's mm-hmm. like, I just have to talk to you with a certain level. Well, I mean, not necessarily a certain level of respect, but it's mm-hmm. like, I have to come at you.
What do dads, I always wonder, like, what do dads usually say? Like when they pull the guy to the side, like what do y'all talk about?
Well, it depends on the dad, but some dads are like giving them like the tough love or like the tough type of conversation. Like, if you mess with my daughter, I'm gonna fuck you up. Like that type of conversation.
And
or
what
like,
do you say? You're like, yes, sir.
It's like, I mean, yeah. If like the dad's really coming at you, like, nah, like if he's giving like a full like descriptive of like what he'll do to you, if he's like, yeah, like I'll put you in a river or some shit, or like I'll mail your finger to your mom or something. Like if you fuck with my daughter, then it's like, oh, okay, nah. I will never fuck with your daughter. I promise you, your daughter will always come home happy. But if, yeah, you know, so if the pop is coming at you like that, then yeah, you gotta be like, nah, like I'm gonna be on my P's and Q's. But sometimes men are just like, just men having men conversation. Yeah. Sometimes when the dad does that, it's usually just to get a gauge of what the guy may be like on his own. Okay. Like if it's just the dad and him, like, yes, can he operate? Can he function with me in the room alone? So yeah, usually that's what it's like.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I personally will continue to not really give myself that girlfriend title unless I feel that someone can be an actual, has the potential to be a lifelong partner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's my vibe. I feel like a lot of times it's like this boyfriend and girlfriend thing for fun, and guys like girls to be like their personal bakers and cupcake makers and do things for them. And a lot of guys like to be babied and taken care of by a girlfriend. Not just cooking and cleaning, just like emotionally. Like they want a diary. They want so much emotional labor to come from a woman. And I'm not ready to give that to someone unless they're about to be my husband.
Respectfully.
Or I feel like it can go there. Like there's a lot of just like fun girlfriend and boyfriend relationships that I was saying that the way I do it, those were my situationships. Mm-hmm. Like people get in girlfriend boyfriend relationships knowing that it most likely won't be forever, and I can't relate to that. I usually get into it like, all right, we're in the path, this is like the start of it all, and if it ends, it's like it's fucked up. It's not like, all right, well, this shit had a 2-year expiration date. Two-year expiration date anyway, so.
I think most people that go into those type of relationships where it's like, you know it's not going to last.
Yeah.
Or like, you know.
And that's what a lot of them are nowadays. And you know, those people that are, you know, everyone knows those people that always have a boyfriend, always have a girlfriend. That they always in a relationship.
I'm going to scratch my head.
It's like you just broke up 6 months ago. Is that you?
That used to be me. That's why I started scratching my head. So I'm like, damn.
And it's like, I know every 6 months when you find yourself your new little girlfriend, you don't think she's going to be the one.
Well, I would say. You
know, she's the one for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But
What
I was going to say was, I think a lot of times it's just like you think. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a good thing. You think it's going to be like, you think this is the one. You think.
So you do think this is the one. That's already a big jump.
No.
Okay.
At the time that I was doing all that, no.
So you were an ex-serial monogamous or dater. I want to know what goes through your mind every time you're getting in and out of these 6 month interval relationships. Like, I thought it was a way of STD protection or something. Like, these people, this is what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, these people are hoes, but they don't want to be out there in the streets like that. So, they're just going to cycle through different relationships so they can, like, you know, get their freak on in a safe way. Is that what it is?
No, for me, I think it was, again, it was just a matter of me thinking, like, that was the right one, you know? Like, I've been in...
But every 6 months, though, every year, you think it's the one again?
Yeah, because I feel like I'm a vibe person. So, right. Like, if I feel like the vibe is nice and we hang out, it's like, yeah. I don't necessarily think it's the one off rip, but I'm like, all right, I have a good feeling about this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, we're going to see where it goes. And then it goes nowhere or shit just ends up hitting the fan. And then I'm like, all right, back to square one.
That's fair.
And then another one bites the dust, you know?
So. What do you do when you go through a breakup? Like, how do you, what's your process?
Okay. So based on my last breakup, I would say one, get as far away from the person as possible.
That's a big one. A lot of people don't like to do that. Some people break up yesterday and are still talking tomorrow. Go on a date tomorrow. And I'm just like, wait, y'all broke up.
Yeah, I made the mistake of being in close proximity with her.
Okay.
So that was still a thing. So the fact that I was in close proximity, it just made it weird. And like, it was just a constant struggle of like, are we together? No, we're not together anymore. Why'd you break up with me? You know why I broke up with you. Yeah. And it was just a constant battle of that.
Yeah. Step one of a breakup, you would say it's distancing yourself.
Get the fuck out of Dodge, right? Distancing yourself.
Yes.
And then two, don't, because obviously after a breakup, the first thing guys do, or one of the things guys do, is we go to another person for, you know, for a coping mechanism, meaning we just break up with somebody and then we go have sex with somebody else the next day because, like, I'm hurt. Oh, I'm crying. But then there's a woman that looks fine. We might be drinking. And it's like, oh, great. Can you fill in that void for that moment?
And you're an advocate of this.
I'm an advocate of saying don't have sex with somebody else the night after.
Oh.
Because it's not going to make you feel better.
Wow.
It's not going to make you feel better at all. You're still going to feel like shit, I promise you.
Okay. So step one, distance yourself from that person. Step two,
don't go to anybody else.
So yeah.
Take time with yourself.
Wow.
Take time with yourself. I think that actually might be the second and last step.
Yeah.
Take time with yourself.
Wow.
Really take time with yourself. Because you find out things about yourself. That gives you time to reflect on what happened in the relationship. Mm-hmm. What led the relationship to, you know, leading to your breakup. Why you guys broke up. It leads you to making better decisions on how to move forward. And then there's always the,
like an aha moment?
Not an aha moment, but it's like, you know, when you have to have a moment of resolution with somebody, what's it called?
Closure.
Closure.
Yeah.
Right. So that moment of closure.
Do you believe in closure?
I do.
So you distance yourself from the person. That's like a third step.
Well, I feel like I believe in closure if the way you guys broke up was horrible.
Wow.
Like if you broke up on some on good terms, like I don't think we should be together. Like if you guys are having a full conversation, it's like you come to terms with the fact that you guys can't be together anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like you both ended on respectful terms.
Yeah.
Then I don't think you need to have closure at all. Because it's like you ended that, cool. I understand, you understand. All right, we're both going our separate ways.
Yeah.
If it ends where, you know, both parties are like, ah, I believe there needs to be a closure moment because it's like you can't end off there.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's for any relationship, boyfriend and girlfriend, anybody. You know, there has to be some type of, you got to come back and you got to like, we got to end this on respectful terms.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, I don't know. I may still be thinking about it at some point, or it's going to hinder me from getting into another relationship.
Yeah.
It's going to hinder me from moving forward. You feel me? So.
Okay. In this breakup process, you feel that after you've distanced yourself from the person, after you've taken the time for yourself, if the relationship ended in a toxic way, you feel that closure conversation is needed. Mm-hmm. Now, who's responsible for leading that closure conversation?
I don't think it should be where someone leads.
Okay.
Well,
but someone always has to lead. Someone has to reach out. Someone has to initiate.
Because that also depends on, again, how you guys ended.
Right.
I don't want to bring up the idea of whose fault it was, but like that also plays a part. Like,
you think the person that I guess sparked the, I don't know, kind of lit the match for the end of the relationship is the one who should reach out to have that closure conversation?
I feel like that could work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it should be where. Because a lot of times also after a breakup, the breakup could be like done. Mm-hmm. Like even if you ended on toxic terms, like they could be like, all right, fuck it. Like,
yeah,
it is what it is. I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the idea of closure isn't necessarily like important. Like that doesn't matter. That's why I said a lot of times the idea of who leads it, I feel like sometimes that doesn't necessarily matter. But again,
And closure could look different for different people. What does it look like for you? Is it someone reaching out and writing you a long letter? Is it someone taking you out to eat, or you going out to eat with somebody and having a conversation?
Closure can mean a bunch of different things. I know for the last breakup I had, I think the full closure moment was because we had 10,000 conversations mm-hmm. after we broke up, and I feel like it was just going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I feel like the full closure moment was, I think, the very last conversation that we had, because I think at that point, me personally, I was like, nah, I'm fed the fuck up.
Yeah.
We cannot be at this point no more. We cannot be doing this. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was like, no, we need to fully fully have a conversation. And then sometimes closure could also mean just someone listening mm-hmm. to what you have to say. Because a lot of times you could express yourself and people won't necessarily know how to respond. So sometimes, I know for me, sometimes closure is like, let me just get all this stuff out. Mm-hmm. Let me just let you know what's on my mind. You don't got to respond. You don't have to say anything. I'm not expecting you to say anything. I just want you to just listen to this real quick. So yeah, I think that's my closure. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way closure works for me. If I'm just like, let me just get this out. If you understand, you do. If you don't, you don't. I'm not going to go out of my way to get you to understand.
That sounds sweet and all, but I say fuck closure. Fuck that shit.
I mean, hey.
We broke up. I don't need to speak to you again. I don't need to hear from you.
Hey.
Save me from your long ass letter and your long ass email and your long ass let's talk.
I fucking hate that.
This long ass, oh my gosh, I did you so wrong. I can't believe. So you knew, so you admit? You admit that you knew you were doing me wrong and you continued to do me wrong? Admitting to it.
I'm going to tell you the three most fucked up words you will never want to hear in your life.
What?
Can we talk?
Yeah. I don't want to talk. If we broken
can,
up?
Can we talk?
If we broken up? No.
Those are the dumbest. Those are the three dumbest words.
I don't believe in closure. I believe that all those conversations, those deep conversations, that apology, oh my gosh, I did this to you. That can happen within the relationship.
Fair.
Because we're still there.
Yeah.
We're still committed.
So that means we can still work on this.
We can still work on it. You can have that come to Jesus moment while I'm still there. Mm-hmm. You can fight for me while I'm still there.
Respectfully.
Once we both decided that it's ended, I don't even owe you my ears to listen. Like, I don't owe you my brain space.
I don't owe you my time. Respectfully.
I don't owe you anything.
Respectfully. Yeah.
And I don't owe you, if you wanted to hear me, like, give you some closure, if you wanted to make sense of something, you could have asked me that while we were in a relationship.
No, fair.
But we've chose to stop the relationship. We've chose to not fight for that anymore. So we're moving on. If you need to heal from anything, if you need to really get in there and like understand something, you can talk about that with a therapist.
No, granted, I think...
I feel like the obligations of a relationship happen within the relationship. I don't need to do any type of aftercare after that.
Aftercare is jokes.
Yes. And I don't expect someone else to do that for me either. But they always do. And that's what I'm saying. That's why the whole closure thing, it's really a like, are you still there? It's 7 months later. Are you still thinking about me? Because y'all never want to end it at that text or that conversation. Y'all want to meet up now. Like, now we got to go down memory lane. Like, no. You're not slick. I don't need the closure. Rather talk with a therapist. Well,
enough said.
Let's move on to a little bit more about you. So okay. You said you're from Southside Jamaica.
Queensland is crazy, you know the vibes.
Yeah. And you dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about dancing. And let's talk about... let's talk about the University of the Arts, I believe, in Philly and your connection to that.
So, okay. So I'll just start off with how I even got into dancing.
Yeah. Really. Take it from the
top. Okay, cool. So started dancing when I was three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact day, but I remember, I was watching my godfather on stage at church. And I was like, Mom, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, put me in a bunch of different dance schools. Went to high school for it. I went to the Guardia.
Wow.
Class of 2017, all the vibes. and ended up at the University of the Arts. Went to college there, graduated class of 2021. Shout out to all the... Sad that our mascot was a unicorn. So shout out to all the artists out there. Word.
That's not sad. That's really cool.
No, it's embarrassing.
It sounds like, you know, like pride.
Nah, to go to a school where their mascot is lions, and then they ask us what our mascot is, and I say a unicorn. That's kind of embarrassing. But anyway, went to the University of the Arts. My time there was great. The first 2 years, obviously, college is like, whoa, you know, or I would say the first year at least. New environment, new people, new city. Being from, you know, New York, I was like, Philly is just weird to me. Yeah. And I also feel like Philly's a smaller New York.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the aspect of they are invested in the arts too. Even the look of it kind of gives it a New York vibe. Mm-hmm. And so, went to UArts. First 2 years were challenging. The last 2 years were also very challenging because that was around the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I was on Zoom University. I was one of those students on Zoom University. So that was a weird transition.
Wow. Would you say that studying at University of the Arts in Philly really helped you hone in your dance skills?
I would say it definitely did. It gave me a... I would say it gave me a look on what my potential is.
Yeah.
It gave me a glimpse of what I could be, what I should be. How not to operate in the dance world. Because I would definitely say a lot of the stuff that I learned there, it's helping me throughout my dance career now. Mm-hmm. Even just like being in auditions and stuff like that, I'm learning more and more how to just be in the space. Yeah. You know.
And I saw on your social media when I was stalking you earlier that you hashtagged Black Boys Dance Too. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that hashtag and what that means to you?
Absolutely. So, again, Black Men Dance. It's a powerful message.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like
that is what it is.
I feel like that message speaks for itself.
Do you feel like Black men are underrepresented in the dance scene?
Not necessarily. I feel like there are a lot of stereotypes.
Wow.
When it comes to men in dance too. For example, there are a lot. Well, if the stereotype is if you're a dancer, you're gay. Mm. So. A lot of that was prevalent in my life. Wow. The idea of like, if I'm telling people I dance, it's like, oh, you're gay. Mm-hmm. And granted, I'm not, you know, I have a bunch of, you know, people, bunch of friends in the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like most of my friends are in that community. So it's like,
yeah, it's not a knock to it. You're just saying, why does your masculinity or your sexuality or any of that have to be questioned because you like to dance?
It's like, dance is not my sexuality.
Right.
Dance is the art. Dance is the form. Dance is the essence. It's not about whether I'm gay, Black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's based on the essence of it. So I think that's one stereotype that kind of, to this day, is relevant. It kind of makes it hard. I think specifically in the bringing it back to dating, a lot of people, it makes it hard for people to take me seriously.
Wow. Do you feel pushback from that? Like in the dating scene, do you feel like girls have questioned your sexuality because you're a dancer?
Mm-hmm. All the time. Like I said, it's prevalent to this day. It's relevant to this day.
So you've literally been discriminated against basically by women in the dating scene because you're a dancer.
Not by all women, but it's just like that, the idea of like...
Because you dance.
Right. I'm like, oh yeah, I do ballet, I do modern, and it's like...
And what do women say?
Oh, cool. Or It was always funny when people were like, they meet me and it's like, I'm not gonna lie, when I first met you, I thought you were gay.
What?
It's like, whoa, the fuck? It's like, oh yeah, because you're a dancer and stuff. And I'm like, because I dance, you thought I was gay, really?
Wow, that's insane. I do want to ask you about, since you spend a lot of time in Philly.
Okay.
I do want to ask you, and let's get closer to the mic.
I'm sorry.
I do want to ask you a little bit about your dating experiences in Philly versus New York City.
Okay.
What's the vibes? What are the vibes like? How are Philly girls different from New York City girls? And what do you like better?
Let's get toxic. Okay, word. Damn, we're getting toxic and I have no alcohol in my system. That's funny. We're getting active today. Okay, so who is better? I mean, I'll take a New York girl over a Philly girl.
Over a Philly John?
Sorry, that word just gave me PTSD. Wait, what? That word just gave me PTSD. Because I was hearing John a lot.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
Pass me that, John. I'm like, oh my God, that shit. Shout out to Philly, though. Shout out to Philly. No hate. No, all love. All love.
Every time I go to Philly, I always forget to remove the Philly from cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing, too. I was getting tired of eating cheesesteaks.
They're not good.
I mean, they're good, but I feel like.
A cheesesteak or a chopped cheese?
Chopped cheese. Ooh. I'm taking a chopped cheese over a cheesesteak any day. Any day.
They're going to hate you for that one.
That's fine. Where am I from again?
Southside Jamaica.
Come on now.
Creighton, New York.
I'm taking a chopped cheese over a Philly cheesesteak any day. Okay, yeah. So to answer your question, who, first part?
New York girls versus Philly girls. Who do you prefer?
Yeah, I'll take a New York girl over a Philly girl.
Why? How are New York girls? And what do you like about them more than Philly girls?
What do I like more about New York girls?
Is it our attitude? Is it our style? Our fashion? Is it the aggression?
The aggression. You feel okay. me? But I mean,
you like your girl to scare you a little bit.
Yes and no. I don't want you to like give me a jump scare. Yeah. No, we don't want that. But I mean, but also I feel like a lot of the girls that I talk to in New York, they're not necessarily the aggressive type. You feel me? They're not like people think the average. Because I don't think the average New York girl is like that. But yeah, what people think the average New York girl is, the aggressive, like, you know, like what? Like what you want? Like, yeah. I've never really dealt with a lot of females like that.
Okay.
But I mean, if I do, I kind of like that too. I'm not going to lie. It's okay. Like, it gives me a reason to, because I'm the chill type.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're coming at me aggressive, I'm going to be like, I'm going to come at you calm and have you like.
Yeah. Well, what is about Philly girls that doesn't do it for you?
I think a lot of the times it was because I think it was based on Philly as a whole. A lot of the people in Philly that I was dealing with, they had a lack of ambition. Not to say that people in Philly have lack of ambition.
But you think the Philly girls you met had less ambition than girls from New York City?
Mm-hmm. It was like, if I'm talking to a girl in New York, she doesn't have all her whole life together. She doesn't have all her plans together, but like,
she has a plan.
You feel me? She has some type of plan. I feel like a lot of the girls that I was talking to in Philly, they were like, you know, we just here.
Well, New York City, we're so like career motivated too.
We on go.
Like we're raised thinking about what's the job gonna be.
We on go. You feel me?
Rent is expensive. Our parents can't wait to put a bill in our name.
Yo.
Our parents are waiting to put a bill in our name. Like they're like, ooh, can't wait to. And then get
if you still living with your parents, it's like, bro, I gotta get going. I can't be in here forever.
Yes.
Bro.
Because they're going to make it hell for you.
You feel me? So the idea of the hustler's mentality is just like, it's a thing in New York.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, and I also feel like in Philly, again, a lot of the people that I was dealing with, they weren't necessarily goal oriented.
Wow.
And then, again, there was just a lack of ambition. And it started to make me feel that type of way. Like I started to have a lot of lack of ambition. I started to feel complacent with where I was at. Complacency.
Yeah, it's because coming from New York, everything else is going to look like complacency because it's just a go-getter's mentality here. Literally, for the fact, if nothing else, it's because the rent is too damn high. Mm-hmm. We don't have an option but to get a job and or two.
Or three.
Or three.
Right? So,
it's not an option. Mm-hmm. That's really good to know. Okay, shout out New York girls. New York girls up. Women,
always
women over the Philly girls.
Always, always, shit. Always. Shout out to the Philly girls, though. Shout out to the Philly girls, though.
Okay. Now, I did want to ask you, before we go, just wanted to ask you one more thing, bringing it back to the dating topic. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about women? I wanted to know about, I feel like we hear a lot about what women have for requirements for men on first dates. Mm-hmm. That we're like, a man should do this, a woman should do this. What do you feel like a woman should do on a first date? Do you expect her to... Because women expect men to pay the bills. Women expect... Do you... Women like to get something out of it. Sometimes they like a little gift. Do you like when women... When women ask for things? Or do you like to be the type to just surprise them?
All right. Let me surprise you.
Yeah.
I feel like if you have to... Okay. Sorry. I get... Every time we... A conversation like this happens, I always get like irritated because it's like, bro, like women, sometimes women on first dates just be losing me. But
let's start off with, what are your expectations for a first date from a woman?
My expectations.
We hear a lot about women's expectations for men.
I mean, I don't necessarily expect a lot. I mean, attention. Mm-hmm. As long as I have your full attention, at least make it look like you're having a good time.
Right.
Because I wouldn't want to be on a date with someone and they're like looking like they're miserable. So attention, look like you're having a good time. Show, be yourself. Mm. I don't necessarily expect a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the bill, I mean, I obviously was the one that asked to go on the date. So I'm going to be the one that pays for the date. I feel like that's a universal thing. Like, if you ask someone on a date, why wouldn't you pay?
Right.
You know?
That's not universal.
Sad. But, I mean, yeah. You would think if you're asking someone to go on the date, you would pay for the date. I don't necessarily expect a lot. Especially on a first date. It's like, you know, first date, I'm just trying to... I want you to want to go on a second date with me. That's my concern. Is she gonna want to go on a second date? So, yeah. Just be there. Be attentive. Be yourself.
Yeah.
That's all I could ask for, you know?
Let's say it. It seems like you're very modest. Women want an itinerary. They want a bank account statement. So that's good. Okay. Way less than women want. And I also wanted to know, how do you feel about women that ask for things then? Because they say closed mouths don't get fed.
True, but
so
it depends on what...
new shoes, can I ask you for some new shoes?
On the first date?
No, maybe like date four.
You lost your fucking mind.
What?
Date four? You asking me for a pair of sneakers?
Because we went on four dates.
That's so like, 4 days.
That's like four.
Four dates.
Like 4 weeks.
Four dates equals a pair of sneakers? Really?
I think so.
4 dates equals a pair of sneakers. What kind of sneakers
women,
are you asking
women
for?
Women pay for their lashes or like a purse or something. Women pay for lashes.
So after four dates, you're expecting someone to buy a purse?
After a certain time, it's like unsafe for women to go home. So they have to pay for Uber's home. They pay for their nails.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. What are you asking this person for?
They get a wax. The pain of a wax.
I go through a lot. Damn.
The pain of a wax. And also, have you seen the restrictions for these nail techs? And first of all, you go for self-care, quote unquote, and you go there to be disrespected. You show up 5 minutes late, bam, $50 fee added to your thing.
That's fair.
You like... no, but they be... The nail techs be like... 20 hours late.
Okay. All right. I'll phrase it this way.
Okay, but I'm just saying all the things that women do to prepare themselves and show up for men, so men can feel proud and happy of the girl that's next to them. Yeah, I think by the fourth date, a girl isn't bugging. She's not out of her mind if she asks for a purse or some shoes. And closed mouths don't get fed. So should she not ask?
She should not ask. But I'm sorry, ladies. You can expect me to say no.
Oh,
that's just me.
How would you feel about a girl that asks you for something? Or let's say she just needs, like, she needs to get her nails done. She needs, like, $150. How I whispered that.
$150.
She just needs $150.
After four dates? Okay, first off,
Then when can a woman start asking for things? Okay, if the fourth day is too much, what about the fifth?
No, because I'm just like, you gotta, are these four dates, are they in a span of like a month? Is this like four dates, like we've been like months in? And you've only been, also, if you months in and you've only been on four dates, that's also kind of weird. But like, right, like still, like the idea of four, even in 1 month, you going on four dates in 1 month and you already asking me for something?
All right, so if a girl asks you for something, you're going to tell her no after she just...
I'm sorry. Like,
she just risked her life and her body parts to be waxed for you.
Did I ask her to do that? Did I ask her to do any of that stuff? I just asked her to show up.
But you wouldn't...
She could have showed up in a pair of sweats. I would have been calm.
You would not like that.
I would have been... I'm showing up in sweats. I'm calm.
And her hair messed up and her...
How does her hair... Bro, as long as you're not showing up to the date looking like Vin Diesel or looking like Respecia, like, or fucking, like, your hair is falling out, I don't really care. Like, I'm not asking you to get a wax. I'll go through the jungle. That's fine.
So you're not emptying your pockets for a girl.
I'm not saying I'm not going to empty my pocket. I wouldn't empty my pockets for a girl, but it's like, make it make sense. If we've been on four dates, and if you only been on four dates, how are you going to come and ask me for a pair of sneakers? Or what kind of sneakers are you asking me for?
It'd be like, you know, some cute like Jordan ones.
Or
like,
you're bugging. A pair of ones? No. Yeah. After four dates? I'm sorry. Because what are you giving me after I gave you those ones?
I just told you, I just listed everything a girl's giving you.
Like, what is she giving me? No, you listed a bunch of things that you did. No. You just told me a bunch of things that you did to yourself. You know,
for.
And I just told you, I didn't care about any of that stuff. I feel happy regardless if I'm around you. I don't care if your thing is waxed. I told you, I'll go through the jungle.
No lashes, eyebrows looking a mess.
And then it's gonna be like, all right, you could have showed up looking a little decenter. Like, that's what I said. Like, if you're not showing up looking crazy, like, if you know, like I said, that stuff don't really matter to me.
You heard it here. Show up looking a mess for your next
date. Don't show up looking a mess, but don't four dates, bro, and you want a pair of Jordan ones. Lost your mind.
All I'm saying, ladies, these men aren't emptying their pockets. It's about to be.
Make it make sense. That's all.
Just keep it real. Keep it real. We taking it back to the 90s.
No, we just gonna do it with a reason. You feel me?
Taking it back to the 90s.
Give me a reason to want to empty my pockets. Don't just expect me to empty my pockets. You feel me?
All I know is I'm canceling these brow appointments. I'm canceling the wax appointment. I'm canceling the appointment. I'm canceling hair bald.
But like but still stuff like that. Again, when it comes to like waxes, like I don't really care about that type of stuff.
I'm talking about the hair on their head.
Hair in the head.
A lot of women are bald headed.
Hey, I'll take a.
See these wig appointments?
I'll take a short hair person. I'll take a bald hair person.
All right.
You know?
Well, to each their own. So this was a lovely, chaotic, wild ass conversation.
This is awesome. I love it.
We heard from Trey, an overall artist, dancer, just a whole renaissance man.
We here.
From Southside Jamaica, Queens.
We here.
Who also knows a little bit about Philly. Before we leave, we do a few things before we leave.
Okay.
First, I want to hear a harsh truth. Something that you've learned from this past year.
Okay.
And, or even through this conversation, that, like, a little tidbit of knowledge that you'd like to share with the audience.
Okay. Harsh truth. I'll do one that I learned this year.
Okay.
I need to keep my mouth shut about what I'm doing.
Oh yeah.
Don't
reveal shit until the ink is dry.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
I need shit. To keep certain things to myself. Yeah. Yeah. I think
that's my vibe.
Cause I feel like if you share too much information, it's either not going to happen or it's not going to happen the way you want it to.
Facts.
So I'm definitely like keeping my mouth shut. That's why I haven't even been on social media. Cause I'm like, y'all not finna know about me until I want y'all to know. You feel me? So yeah, don't share the wealth too much yet.
I agree.
Be a little stingy with it.
I agree with that. That's my rule number one. Because I feel like as soon as you share some shit with people and it's not completed, then it gets that evil eye on it. I ain't with it.
Or people do everything in their power to make sure it doesn't happen for you. So
I agree. Now, I also want to know, before we leave, I want you to remind the audience of your social media, and this would be a good time also to plug any projects that you're working on, or just show love to any pages, any projects you want people to follow.
Word. So you can follow me at 4_Trigga, like Trigga Trey. So 4_ TRIGGA. I'm not on Instagram right now, but you can give me a follow when I'm back, probably looking to be back towards the summer. You can send me a message and be like, hey, I saw that episode. Love what you do. Love your work. Currently not working on any projects right now. Just getting back in the studio, just dancing, taking classes. If you want, you could also spot me at Gibney Studios, Broadway Dance Center, Steps. I'm taking classes at these places. Yeah. Also, if you want to collab, hit me up on the gram. I'd love to collab, do some photographer. I model too. So if you want to get in the studio, do some stuff like that too. You feel me? Yeah. Hit me up. I'm a nice guy. I won't bite. So word, talk to me. I'm here.
Lit. And we're going to wrap it up here. And then we're going to do the song of the pod, but we have to do that off camera because YouTube will demonetize us.
Oh, so snap.
That'll just be for the audio only.
Word.
And please remember to follow the podcast at Casa Confessions Podcast on most social media platforms at @big_Lani on X. And please subscribe, follow, leave a comment, rating, review wherever you consume this podcast. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye. I was going to do a peace sign in the back.
I'm weak.
Okay. Now we're going to do Song of the Pod. Now, what's a song that you've really been vibing to lately?
What's a song I've really been vibing to lately?
For me, it's just been like SZA all day. But all day, every day, all I listen to.
What about for you? Do you mind if I go to my phone?
Of course.
Okay, I'm about to say this.
Let's get it.
I'm listening to Private Island Gunna.
Private Island Gunna.
I listened to that a lot recently. I don't know why.
Okay, so we're gonna leave people out to this song and
it's just vibey, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just kicking it with a baddie, smoking on the exotic.
Yes.
And then I run and lick.
Thank you guys for supporting. Please follow Trey. And we'll see you guys next time.
Be breezy. Bye.
I done heard too many times you can't get rich with no knowledge. Told the shorty if she mind, then promise me you keep it solid. You know bitches talk with you with a boss, we keep our business private. Ain't never fucked you on a private island. I fly G5 on all the sky mileage. I got some slimes out of Beehive, I know they dying by them body. CIP troop, I'm holding it down, you on my mind, trying.